All right, so before I get started, we've been going over this for a while, so does anyone have any questions on Psalms 27 or anything that, like, interests you or anything you want to ask about, anything you want to talk about, anything in the chapter that stands out to you? No? Okay. Well, if it comes to you or you want to ask a question or something interests you, don't be afraid to raise your hand and or talk about it. But we're going to start off from verse 8, which is where we left off last time. In verse 8 it says, "When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." So remember what we talked about last time was that David accepted this in his heart. He says, "In my heart," he said, "the Lord," he said, "when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." So David is basically telling the Lord that, you know, if God, you tell me to do something, I'm going to do it. And he accepts that commandment in his heart. So he's expressing his loyalty and obedience toward the Lord. And David is constantly doing that throughout this chapter and really throughout all of Psalms. He's really just seeking a closer walk and experience in life with the Lord. And as we covered last time, you know, to see someone's face means that you're close to them. You know, even today we have technology and telephones and things like that, but in David's time, if you weren't face to face with someone, there was really no way of knowing where they were, what they were thinking at the time. You know, or if you weren't face to face with them, there was no way to truly fellowship or commune with them. And even today, you know, calling or texting somebody isn't the same as when we're face to face with each other. You know, that's why, and that's a big reason why we come to church, because we need fellowship. And the Bible says, you know, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And the brothers upstairs are, you know, constantly preaching that and telling that, and not just the brothers upstairs, but the brothers all over, because since COVID happened, some people kind of just wanted to stay home and be by themselves. But we know that the Bible says that we not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And you know, that's part of what David is seeking here, seeking a face-to-face communion with God. And the same way we should be seeking a face-to-face communion with God and with, you know, our brothers and sisters here. So it's important to continuously keep that in mind. And even today we have things like, we have video call, and you know, you could call someone and see them and hear them, but it's still not the same as being, you know, in the room, face to face and present with that person. And you know, the same with the word, like you can read the Bible and they'll just be words on a paper if you don't have the God that's in the book living in you. You know, and when you've had that experience and when you've had that communion with God, there's nothing else like it, and there's really no substitute for it. You know, the same way there's no substitute for being in the room with someone, because we can text and call and all those things, but there's nothing like being in the room and being able to talk and see your response, you know, live, and the back and forth that we can have in person versus, you know, over text or over a call. So there's no substitute for having an experience with God. And that's why David is constantly seeking this experience when he says, "Thy face, Lord, will I seek." He wants to be closer and closer. So we go to verse 9. He says, "Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation." So we know that from verse 4, that one thing that David desired from the Lord is, you know, to dwell in his house and to inquire in his temple. So here in verse 9, he's reiterating that sentiment, and he's saying, "Hide not thy face far from me, and leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation." So David wants to continuously commune with God, and he doesn't want to be separated from God for any reason. And we need to look out for that, you know, in our lives sometimes, because we do have to live life, and we have to go to school and go to work and go to different places, and we have family troubles and issues. But we should constantly want to commune with God and forbid that we ever be separated from Him. So make God a daily part of your life and continue to get closer to Him the way David is seeking Him here. And in that verse, he also says, put not thy servant away in anger. And, you know, sometimes as humans, we do that to people. Sometimes we put people away in anger. Like if we have a disagreement, or maybe we're upset, we might tell someone, oh, leave me alone, or I don't want to talk to them. Or perhaps maybe even your parents put you away in anger. Maybe they say, go to your room, or they just don't want to talk to you, or you guys don't want to be around each other. You're having a disagreement in the house. And David is praying that the Lord won't do this to him. He's praying that, you know, the Lord will keep him, you know, regardless of all the mistakes he made. Because David knows he's human and he'll make mistakes and he'll fail. And he's asking God for, you know, to have patience with him. And he's asking for goodness and mercy, which is a common theme in the book of Psalms, as well as this chapter. And we know as Christians that the Lord will not forsake us, and that He's promised us that He'll be with us and stay with us and lead us and guide us through everything we go through. So it's good to not forsake the communion, and it's good to ask God for mercy, because He is merciful and He will do that for you. So verse 10, which is kind of similar to what we were talking about, how sometimes, you know, we put people away in anger. But verse 10 says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Now I want to ask you guys, what does this verse mean to you? And that's a question you can answer. What do you guys think that verse means? When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. I've got time. Just whatever's on your heart, whatever's on your mind. What does that verse mean to you?
I think it's talking about when their father and their mother lose the patience for them. Our Lord will never lose patience for us.
That's good. I like that. Anyone else? Thomas, what does that verse mean to you?
That if the father and mother cast you away, the Lord will never cast you away.
Mm-hmm. Has anyone ever felt cast away by their parents? And maybe you feel like they don't understand what you're saying, or they don't understand what you're going through, or maybe it seems like you talk and they just don't really understand your perspective. So there might be things that you go through that maybe your parents haven't been through before. And maybe they're just not quite sure how to help you, you know, and that's when you can take it to the Lord in prayer and ask for guidance, the same way David does throughout the book of Psalms. So forsaken means, it can mean a literally forsaken, like if, you know, maybe your parents aren't there, or sometimes it can mean just spiritually or emotionally. Or just something you're going through that you're trying to talk to them about and they just don't understand. Or maybe you feel like, or maybe even just in general, just authority figures in your life, they just can't seem to maybe help you or understand what you're saying or going through. But in times like those, you know, that's when the Lord will take you up, as the scripture says. So it's just any time where sometimes maybe the natural order of things or the natural people in your life maybe just aren't able to fully comprehend what you're going through or maybe help, the Lord will always be there, no matter what. You know, we sing that song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And it's very true that, you know, everything that we struggle with or we go through, we can always take it to God in prayer. And He encourages that. He encourages us to, as we're His children, and He wants to take care of us, and He wants us to cry out to Him. He wants us to, as the brothers preach upstairs, they want us to come boldly before the throne and ask for what we want. And Brother Aaron preaches that all the time, where he's like, you know, what type of father is he? You know, he wants to provide for his children. He's not going to give you a stone or a snake when you ask for bread. You know, he's going to take care of you. And that we, as Brother Aaron preaches, we shouldn't be surprised when he does those things, because he's our father, and that's what he promised he'd do. So if we believe his word, we believe he'll do it. So I'd encourage you that, you know, whatever you're going through or whatever you struggle with, you know, feel free to take it to the Lord in prayer, because he'll listen and he'll care. And when no one else cares, and when nobody's there for you, you always have God. So that's why it's important to have that, to have a close experience with him, because it will carry you. And that goes back to when I first started this, verse 1 of Psalms 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? So he is your light and salvation. He will give you the durability, the dexterity, the longevity. He will provide for you. He will take care of you in those times and carry you through. So there's nothing to fear. That's why the scripture says, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So even when sometimes the people who love you the most, or the people you love the most, or that you're closest to, can't fully help you, the Lord will help you. You know, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. So it's good to remember that our last resort is always Jesus. Really, our first resort should be Jesus, but our last resort, when there's nothing left, we have God. And that's why it's so important to have an experience. Now in verse 11, it says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Now once again, David is asking for wisdom and guidance from the Lord. And in almost every verse, he's humbly submitting himself to God and seeking what the Lord's desire is for his life. And the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. And by reading the scriptures, we can see why, because he's just constantly and fervently lowering himself and asking for knowledge and guidance from God. And that's what we should also be doing as Christians, is asking God for guidance in every aspect of our lives, no matter, you know, how big or small it may seem. And when we do wrong, we should be quick to repent, you know, and seek forgiveness. And we should ask ourselves if we're continually seeking God the way David is. Because the way David seeks God, it's just in every verse, he's almost every verse, he's just giving God the glory and the praise, and he's thanking God and he's seeking God and he wants more of God. And like I discussed last time, we have an advantage over David, because God came and died for our sins. And more of the word is revealed to us today than it was in David's time, which is why we should be very happy for what we have, and be very happy to be living in this age and to have more and more of the scripture, you know, being revealed in this day. And I think that's something we should take advantage of, because David was constantly seeking more of God, but, you know, he could only go so far, you know, and he couldn't get the Holy Ghost because he was in the Old Testament before Jesus died. But we've had a Savior, you know, come and give his life for us, so we're able to go further than David could, and we could have God come and live in us and guide us. And everything David was seeking, we have full access to. And that's really, you think about that all over the Old Testament, with all these prophets and and these preachers and these you know, men of God and Abraham and all these things. You know, there was the communion in the garden, but then after that, we were separated. And God wanted to, you know, come and He wants to. You were continuously working to restore the fellowship that we had in the garden. And when, you know, Jesus came and died for us, it broke so many veils and so many fears, and like fears that like death has no sting, grave has no victory. And I talked about last time, Brother Branham read that. I read that quote from Brother Branham where he said that he's cutting the veils of sickness, death, and all those things, and we can fully and more completely commune with God and seek those things. So, I mean, it's just wonderful to read the Old Testament and just, and to see how much, you know, these brothers and sisters love the Word, and to see they can only go so far, and that we have that advantage today, that we can go all the way with God and up into the rapture, you know, if we have an experience. So we should be continuously, you know, taking advantage of that fact and be grateful for that, you know. That's what David is constantly saying, teach me thy way, O Lord. Verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Verse 12, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me. So false witnesses are typically, you know, not good things, basically. Like liars, and there's always going to be maybe people who despise you and people who are against you. And like we said, you know, we don't have any enemies. Our enemies are principalities, you know, as I covered that in a previous lesson. Our enemies are people, that they're spiritual and spiritual wickedness in high places, as the, I believe it was Ephesians chapter 6 where we said, where I read that scripture, that our enemies are spiritual wickedness in high places. And there's also, you know, people who may, you know, false witnesses may rise up against us, but David says, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. So he's asking for guidance, for God to lead him and not to deliver him into the will of his enemies, Lord. He's asking for protection. Sometimes we have those spiritual battles where we're struggling and we're trying to find a way out of it. Maybe, you know, you have an anger issue, or maybe you have another issue. Or maybe you're just greedy, or maybe you're short with people. Whatever your problem is, you have, you know, maybe a spiritual weakness. And David here is saying, deliver me not into the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses rise up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. So there's certainly a lot of cruelty in this world, that if we have God, we can be delivered of that, and we won't have to worry about that. Now, verse 13 says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of God, the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, what do you guys think that means? I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of God and the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Anyone want to answer that? Anyone here believe they've seen the goodness of the Lord? Yes? I hope so. Because you have. We've been coming to this church, so. So we've definitely seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You know, we hear different testimonies. We hear people preaching. We hear, you know, the victories, people overcoming things and people being healed. And I mean, even Zach and Lily getting married, that to me, that's the goodness of the Lord, you know. And I'm sure Bob and Sister Monica are very grateful, and they see that as the goodness of the Lord in their lives in the land of the living. And, you know, and to faint is, the scripture says, I had fainted. And to faint is like to become weak or to pass out, or just, you don't have the energy, you don't have the strength. But it says, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So this kind of, this goes back to verse 1 where he said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. He's the strength of my life. So to faint is to be weak and to be frail. And in verse 1 it says, the Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? So that's still consistent all the way in verse 13. From verse 1 to verse 13 he's saying, I had fainted unless I had seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So the goodness of the Lord, you know, is going to strengthen us and to see the testimonies and to see the works and the glory and all the different things and to see healings and see, you know, people being happy and just whatever the Lord gives us to be grateful for it. And to see people, you know, getting married or getting deliverance or, you know, coming to church more often or singing praises to the Lord and just to have a preacher and a pastor that really care about you and want you to go further on with the Lord and to see all those things. So we have definitely seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So if you all would maybe write this down if you could or just remember it, but I want to know, just for the next class, I want to know, when have you seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living? Let me write that down if you could, or just remember it for next time. When have you seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living? And you're dismissed. God bless you.